This is News Radio 105.9 WBBM's All Local. Listen and subscribe for Chicago's most up-to-date news each weekday morning and afternoon. Now from the WBBM newsroom, these are the most important news stories from the Chicago area.
But first, we begin with a federal lawsuit that alleges a 7-month-old boy was ripped from his downstate parents last year by DCFS unnecessarily. With our top story, WBBM's Brandon Eisen.
Victor Lucha telling reporters in Spanish that by filing this lawsuit naming several DCFS investigators and caseworkers, he hopes to let other families know that they too can get help if facing a similar experience.
No hay palabras para describir el dolor que lo hacen pasar.
To which he says no words can describe the pain of having his 7-month-old son taken away for 3 months, placed in multiple foster homes, and for no reason, by admission of Illinois Department of Children and Family Services medical experts, according to records obtained by family attorney Michelle Cody Carter.
In fact, they were told that the spots on his legs were common to the Hispanic population.
The federal lawsuit claims no interpreter was provided for the boy's mother when she took him to a doctor northwest of Springfield, exploring treatment for what turned out to be a minor sun-related burn. The spots on his legs, common from exposure to citrus.
It's really deplorable what happened to this family, and it's one of the most egregious cases that I've seen in my practice in the area of juvenile law.
Attorney Cody Carter says a culturally inappropriate, even adversarial response from the DCFS employees caused months of injury to the boy, including separation from his breastfeeding mother, multiple hospital stays, and multiple placements of feeding tubes, along with being placed with non-Spanish-speaking fosters at an age crucial for language development. In the loop, Brandon Eisen, News Radio. Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Yes, DCFS is not named in the federal lawsuit, but the state will be named in a companion case that will be filed this week in the Court of Claims. DCFS has not responded for a request for comment. And we're expecting to hear tomorrow from some of the more than 200 people who have filed suits claiming they were sexually abused as children while they were being held in youth detention centers in the state of Illinois. Attorneys filed new lawsuits today in the Illinois Court of Claims. More than 600 people have claimed abuse in lawsuits filed since May of this year. No comment yet from state leaders. In Indiana, the family of a Northwest Indiana man who they say died at the hands of police is now demanding body cam footage to be released.
Civil rights attorney Ben Crump is now representing the family of Riker Earl, the 26-year-old man who died 2 days after an encounter with Jasper County Sheriff's deputies.
I vow that we're going to get to the truth of what happened.
Officers were called to the DeMott home September 8th for a mental health call as Earl had just come out of a seizure and was disoriented. Sharon Krause Earl says her grandson was pinned down in handcuffs and said he couldn't breathe.
I couldn't believe what I was hearing. They just killed him. They just killed him. It just was the most horrific thing I've ever been through in my life.
The family's now demanding body camera footage be released. The Jasper County Sheriff's Office claims that video shows Earl's breathing was not restricted. Rachel Pearson, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
It is 3:06. We're standing by for information from federal authorities that disgraced former Chicago Alderman Ed Burke has reported to prison. We're monitoring if he has indeed reported just yet. Here's the latest.
80-year-old Ed Burke is serving his 2-year prison sentence at the minimum security camp at the Federal Correctional Institution in Terre Haute, Indiana. He was also ordered to pay a $2 million fine after being convicted on 13 counts related to using his position as alderman to extort private legal work from city contractors. Federal prosecutors had fought for a 10-year prison sentence, claiming Burke abused and exploited his office by pursuing his own personal and financial interests over a course of years. Burke served as the alderman of Chicago's 14th Ward from 1969 to 2023, the longest of anyone in city history. Haley Hansen, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Well, Chicago cleaning up after Riot Fest, and an attendee says a car was torched on a residential street after refusing to pay for parking nearby. Gail Cambera says she left her car parked near 15th and Albany against her better judgment.
A lot of people said, well, you knew what he was going to do. Why did you stay there? And I just thought, you know, like, there's enough people around. It was that time of day. In the back of my mind, I thought, maybe he'll key it, maybe he'll slash the tires. I didn't think anybody would escalate to arson.
Investigators are looking through nearby surveillance footage to see what happened. Not clear yet whether members of the Chicago Board of Ed will vote this week on whether to retain the city's embattled public school CEO. The board is set to meet Thursday, a little more than a week after sources say Mayor Johnson asked school CEO Pedro Martinez to resign. Leaders of the Chicago Teachers Union say they unanimously approved a no-confidence vote against him, claiming the CEO is considering a new plan to close or consolidate schools. Martinez has denied that and has refused to resign. Only the Board of Ed can dismiss him, and his contract requires 6 months' notice if he's fired without cause. And hundreds gathered in Skokie over the weekend to remember 23-year-old Hirsch Goldberg-Poland. Goldberg-Poland was taken hostage October 7th while attending the Nova Music Festival when Hamas attacked Israel, taking 251 people hostage and killing about 1,200. He was killed by Hamas after being held hostage for nearly a year. An NYU think tank is weighing in on Chicago's policing strategies.
At the request of people within Chicago's philanthropic community, the New York University Law School's policing project looked into the Chicago Police Department. Project Director Professor Barry Friedman says the city is overly concerned with finding new approaches to policing rather than focusing on proven methods.
It has ample ideas in hand, and if it would just turn to implementation and execution, the lives of many Chicagoans would be better.
Friedman cites Chicago's much-vaunted community policing, for example.
We have been working on that for 5 years. We have had a number of mayors and police superintendents vow fidelity to the program, though that is not true of the current mayor and superintendent. And despite those claims that they were deeply interested in it, the program has never been fully staffed or implemented.
At City Hall, Craig Delamore, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
The Chicago gang leader is seeking freedom this week. Larry Hoover, now 73, is incarcerated in Colorado. Advocates for his release argue his time served, an aging condition, saying that his life sentence for his role in managing the gang's extensive criminal activities from behind bars should be reconsidered in light of his reported transformation. Hoover's attorneys claim he's now a frail elderly man and that a sentence modification is deserved. And from the AppleChevy.com sports desk, here's 670 The Score's Chris Emma.
Good afternoon, Lisa. After walking out of Lucas Oil Stadium yesterday afternoon, Matt Eberflus knew well the Bears had an opportunity to win. That's what makes this loss even harder to accept. The Bears came up short to the Colts, falling 21-16 in Indy. Here's Rick Gregg with more.
Sunday's setback in Indy qualifies as a bad loss, and tight end Cole Kmet knows it.
You know, you look at our roster and look at theirs. I take ours over theirs any day of the week. It's not a game that I think we should have lost.
Monday is for breaking that loss down, and Tuesday will be for getting over it.
There's no reason to be in full panic mode inside the building. Like I said, there's just a lot that can happen throughout the NFL season, and I've seen that before.
Back to practice and the Rams on Wednesday. Covering the Bears, Rick Gregg, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
The division rival Vikings, Lions, and Packers each earned victories yesterday, leaving the Bears at the bottom of the NFC North standings. The Bears are back in action Sunday when they host the Rams at Soldier Field. In baseball, the Cubs are in Philadelphia to meet with the Phillies. First pitch is at 5:40, and you can catch that broadcast on 670 The Score. The White Sox are back at Guaranteed Rate Field tomorrow night and on the brink of baseball infamy. They are only one loss away from setting the all-time record with 121 losses. The White Sox tied the 62 Mets with their 120th loss of the season yesterday in San Diego. With sports at 16-46, I'm Chris Emma, 670 The Score for News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
In Wisconsin, a 12-year-old girl is facing charges in connection with a school threat in Milwaukee yesterday. Police in Buckeye, Arizona, say they were contacted by Milwaukee police about a school threat that was linked to an IP address in Buckeye. Police in Arizona say they went to the home, interviewed the 12-year-old, and recovered evidence. Buckeye police say the girl was arrested and booked on felony charges, including making a terrorist threat. Milwaukee police did not name the school that was threatened. One of Chicago's most popular celebrations of fall and all things Bavarian is returning to Lakeview this weekend.
Brats, beer, and community. That's what Father Stephen Bauer says visitors can expect at St. Alphonsus's 22nd annual Oktoberfest.
It started as an event in the parking lot, and it's grown and grown and grown. So now it's a major street festival in the city of Chicago. As a German parish and myself being German, it's just a natural fit, and it's a lot of fun to tap into our heritage to really bring a wonderful festival to the community.
He says this year, organizers are expanding the event's popular family-friendly Kinderfest, taking place Sunday.
We have games, activities, and we also have a Kinderfest train that runs through the festival grounds. But it's a great time for families to come together and enjoy beautiful weather and some games, activities, and, of course, the German food and beer.
Oktoberfest takes place in and around St. Alphonsus Church Friday through Sunday. Carolina Garibe, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
DMV officers' office hours expanded in Illinois today. They'll now be open from 7:30 in the morning to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Those that are open on Saturdays will be available from 7:30 to noon. Secretary of State Alexia DeNuglia says providing the best possible DMV experience and service to customers has been a goal since day one.
All Local is a production of News Radio 105.9 WBBM, Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station. Please like and subscribe to this podcast on the Odyssey app to continue receiving up-to-date news and information.